You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Holiday ads nudging us to consume even more have been running since September. Yes, holiday ads often run that early nowadays. This week marks the official start of a big push that began a few weeks ago. So this is a good time to think about how we can avoid spending money needlessly and how we might be more efficient with what we do spend. In Pogue's Basics, Money, science and technology writer David Pogue provides what he describes as essential tips and shortcuts that no one bothers to tell you about beating the system. It is published by Flatiron Books, and I'm very pleased it has brought David Pogue back to our show. And we also welcome your calls with questions or suggestions. Our number is 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at wnyc.org/Lopate or on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle is at Leonard Lopate. So, David, did you time this book's release for the perfect storm of consumption from Thanksgiving to New Year's? Is this just another thing that we have to buy during the holiday season?
I should say, yes, this was my genius to time it, but no, it's a complete coincidence. And, you know, on whether you have to buy it, I argue that if you add up every one of the tips in the book, I mean, nobody's going to follow all of them, but if you did, this $15 book would net you $61,000 a year.
Okay, earn that much.
I say it's a good investment.
How does a book of tips and shortcuts regarding money connect with your other work on science and technology?
That is a fine question. That's why this is such a great show. It doesn't.
Oh, good. I was wondering about that.
This is just
you've been here before.
That's great. I would just say that, I mean, even in as a tech critic, I'm always the consumer advocate. I'm always looking out for the consumer. As a teenager, when most boys were reading Mad Magazine or Playboy, I read Consumer Reports. This is just a problem I have. And I've always been sort of looking out for scams and trying to find them. So this is a great opportunity.
With Bitcoin, internet banking, algorithm-based trading, and the growing influence of online retailers, is money becoming a technology issue?
Very much so. In fact, an incredible number of these 200 tips do boil down to using technology to find the inefficiencies and the things we spend money on every day. A lot of them involve apps or websites.
And then, of course, you provide some tips for making money here as well.
A few. And those, too, Airbnb and Etsy and DogVacay, also all enabled by the smartphone era.
Do you have any special suggestions before we're herded into Thanksgiving and Black Friday?
Black Friday has become a really fraught, stressful thing. The deals are real. You can indeed save unbelievable amounts of money. It's by far the best time to buy a TV. Bought mine last year at this time. But go to a site like blackfriday.com and make your plan of attack. They round up all the Black Friday deals from all the major stores and retailers and websites. So you can sort of see what you're getting into.
Haven't behavioral scientists found that we're guaranteed to make certain kinds of mistakes at this time of year?
Over and over. One of my favorite parts about doing this book was the psychology of money. I mean, money basically makes us crazy. I don't know if you've ever met Dan Ariely.
We have had him on the show numerous times.
He's fantastic. And I love these experiments that he does where he finds how irrational we are when it comes to money. And I've cited him in the book and some other researchers. It's the old thing about if you want to sell an $18 bottle of wine, you put it in between an $8 bottle and an $80 bottle. And then 90% of customers will go for it because they don't know what wine really costs. It's relative value.
The same thing happens with wine lists in restaurants. I understand that they know that the cheapest bottle of wine is probably not going to sell. It's the one just slightly above it.
Exactly right. And it has nothing to do with the real value of the wine. It's just how we perceive the value.
So businesses are taking advantage of the mistakes that we make.
Yes, constantly. I love that. The Dan Ariely experiment, on day one, you went to a grocery store, set up a stand. You could buy a Lindt chocolate truffle ball for 25 cents or a Hershey's Kiss for a penny. And on day one, half and half were what sold. On day two, he came back and he dropped the prices of each down by 1 cent. So the Lindt chocolate was 24 cents and the Hershey's Kiss was free. And free does something to our brains. Now, the relative value is still the same. They're still 24 cents apart, but now 90% of the customers went for the free one. What happened? If we consider them 24 cents apart, if that's what we perceive the value. Anyway, just fascinating, the psychology of money.
Let's take a call from Westport, Connecticut. Gabriel,
the
hi, you're on the air.
The
hi, Gabriel.
24 cents apart. But now
Gabriel, you have to turn off your radio and listen on the phone. Okay, I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll work that one out. Do you know what the estimates are this season for online spending versus brick and mortar?
I do not.
Because consumers expect to get discounts through places like Amazon and other online retailers. I wonder if there are ways to get lower prices that are less well known and perhaps even better.
Yeah, I mean, I have a few like key pieces of advice for the whole world. One is, if you have a credit card and it's not giving you 2% back on everything, why not? Go get one right now. There's two or three that are not limited to just groceries or gas. They give you 2% back on everything you spend all year. That's thousands of dollars. And another thing is Retail Me Not. I love this site. It's 20 million coupons and deals that have been rounded up by your fellow citizens and reported to this one master database. Whenever you're going to buy anything, you know, an appliance or an electronic or clothing or restaurant or movie tickets, anything, go to retailmenot.com and type in what you're looking for. The odds are very good that you will find a discount on what you're about to buy.
Coupons? Because in the old days, we used to clip coupons from the newspaper. Now some supermarkets actually have little machines that give you coupons. I'm not sure I understand why that would even work.
It is. That's a throwback to the past. But yeah, when you're buying something online, it takes the form of a coupon code, mm-hmm. you know, a code that you paste in as you buy. But a lot of these sites, like coupons.com is another one that I unearthed. It's another, especially if you're going grocery shopping.
So coupons are good.
Coupons are good.
But yeah, a lot of the things you want to buy are, for example, I'm looking for a ceiling light fixture. I don't think there are coupons for those things.
I would not answer that question until you go to Retail Me Not and try.
I'm going to have to look. Gabriel, you're back. Westport, Connecticut. Hi.
Hi, Leonard. Thanks for taking my call.
I'm glad we were able to work that out.
I've got two points. The first is just a quick rant about the BOGO. I think everyone knows, but if something is buy one, get one free, it's almost guaranteed that you don't need the second one. You know, like a 6-inch frying pan, buy one, get one free. What are you going to do with that second one? And the other thing that I want to say that not a lot of people know is even at the big department stores like Best Buy, I'm not sure about Walmart, but from personal experience at Best Buy, you can haggle and negotiate the price of an item down on any day of the year. And that's something that I think not a lot of people take advantage of. And it's a little confrontational for some, but for me, it works. And I've even done it at Dunkin' Donuts. I've haggled for a bottle of water. I only had 50 cents in my pocket, and the manager came over, and he approved the sale, and I got a bottle of water at Dunkin' for 50 cents.
Has that been your experience? I think I'd be a little uncomfortable doing that. I'm okay if I'm at a flea market, and I think the price is a little high. Usually
yeah.
They'll come down, but Best Buy?
It can work, but in the book, I really encourage you to do it in two circumstances. One is when you're behind on your credit card payments, which 40% of Americans are. If you have a plan, you can call up the credit card company and explain how you intend to pay it off and ask if they can meet you halfway by lowering the rate. And just asking in a calm, controlled way often gets you good results. They're like, okay, if you can pay this off by September, we'll cut your interest rate by another 8%. And the other example is your cable company, of course. This is one of the least secrets there is, but it really works. You call the cable company and tell them that you would like to cancel your TV, that you're getting your TV on the internet now. They hand you off to a retention expert whose sole job it is to keep you as a subscriber by dropping your rate. I wasn't faking it. I really intended to cancel. They dropped my rate by $50 a month to the point where, oh, fine, we'll just hold on to it. And I told my best friend down my street, and they gave him $40 a month off. It's just, It's an unbelievable gift, and all you have to do is ask.
My guest is David Pogue, whose latest book is Pogue's Basics Money, Essential Tips and Shortcuts That No One Bothers to Tell You About Beating the System. There are all sorts of things, tips that people have given me. I don't know whether they are accurate. For example, if you're buying airline tickets, it's always best to buy them on Tuesday night. Another is clear off all your cookies when you're going to do something like buy airline tickets, because they will see what you were offered before, and they'll never offer you anything less than that.
Yeah, the Tuesday night buying thing turns out to be a myth. I'm sorry. It's just not true.
But it's harder to get through because everybody believes it.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of and you know, I had a lot of soul searching when doing this book. For example, I asked my Twitter followers for their favorite tips, and many of them said things that are sort of more or less illegal. They would say, you know, go to the movie theater and sneak from one theater to another, watch three movies all day, or tell a hotel or restaurant that it's your anniversary and they'll give you a free dessert. I didn't include those. And I also don't really buy into – I didn't include any time for money swaps. You know, people will say, you know, wash your own car or whatever. And like, that's fine, but time for money swaps are everywhere, and we have limited time too. So I tried to focus on things where not time is money, but information is money.
And I learned that when I used to be in advertising worked for a supermarket. There were people who would go from supermarket to supermarket only by the bargain brands. But when you looked at all the time that they spent going from place to place, was it and the cost of the travel, was it actually anything? Were they saving anything?
That's exactly right. I mean, even the act of saving money and being a shrewd shopper.
They were called cherry pickers.
Yes, that's right. There are pitfalls everywhere. For example, everybody asks me about Costco in those big warehouses. And yes, you can save unbelievable money, but what happens is you buy way more than you need. So the trick
is... you have to have a big basement, don't you?
Yeah, you do. The trick with those stores is go in with a shopping list and don't be swayed from it.
A listener wonders, are there ways to purchase things in terms of conscious consumerism? Aren't there apps for that?
In other words, socially responsible
yes.
purchasing? There are apps for that and websites. All for it.
Let's get back to something like Amazon. Consumers expect to get discounts through Amazon. Are there ways to get lower prices that are less well-known, perhaps even better? Because many now go to Amazon without comparing, and Amazon is just their default retailer.
That is absolutely true. And Amazon has been...
I don't mean to pick on Amazon, but...
No, let's pick on Amazon.
Okay.
Amazon has started to recognize this, that people are used to Amazon giving them a fair price, so they don't even price compare. So the first thing I have to say is Camel, Camel, Camel. That is the name of this amazing website, CamelCamelCamel.com, that tracks the prices of every item on Amazon. So if you're about to go and buy something, you can look at a graph of that memory card or razor cartridges or whatever it is that you're about to buy, because prices rise and fall on Amazon, and you can see where you are on the cycle.
It's called Camel, Camel, Camel?
That is what it's called, CamelCamelCamel.com. And you can even set up a price alert, that is, email me if this digital camera hits $150.
You can buy some used stuff on Amazon or elsewhere for many times the original cost, $500 for a book that's available now, new for $25. Are consumers foolish enough to pay prices like that?
If it were $500, I'd investigate it for sure. But the other big tip on Amazon is nobody knows about the Amazon Prime store card. This is a pretend credit card. It's a virtual one, not a real piece of plastic. And if you sign up for it, it's free. You get 5% off of everything. 5% is a lot. Everything you buy on Amazon, 5% discount. And this is a credit card, virtual credit card you can use only on Amazon. And as long as you pay your bill at the end of the month, that is free money.
My guest is David Pogue, whose latest book is Pogue's Basics, Money, essential tips and shortcuts that no one bothers to tell you about beating the system. It's published by Flatiron Books. And we will continue our conversation. By the way, if you have any questions for Mr. Pogue, you can call us at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at wnyc.org/Lopate or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. We are back with David Pogue, who's a New York Times bestselling author, has more than 1.5 million followers on Twitter. That's almost as much as Donald Trump. And he's written numerous books, which have brought him to our show. The latest kind of a departure for him is Pogue's Basics Money, Essential Tips and Shortcuts That No One Bothers to Tell You About Beating the System. It is published by Flatiron Books. And we're inviting your calls at 212-433-9692 or pledge online, a call online. What am I saying? Right to our website at WNYC. I almost went into automatic there. Let's talk a bit more about airfares. I mentioned the Tuesday night thing. Aren't some prices like airfares and car rentals constantly being changed? How can we save money there?
Constantly. You know, you can check a price and then go 5 minutes later and it will have gone up or down.
Is it because they're collecting data on us, or is it just that the prices go up and down?
The thing about the cookies, I'm not sure if that's a myth or not. I haven't seen it proven. I've heard it asserted. But there are ways for sure to save on airfare. I tried to find something that was universal to put in the book. I couldn't. But there are some really clever websites that help you find hidden city fares. That is, if you're trying to fly to London, you'll see that the prices are in the $900 range, unless you deliberately book a layover in Finland, and all of a sudden it's $420. You know, so this website finds the hidden city fares, and there are also ways to accumulate frequent flyer miles that will get you free airfare that you wouldn't expect. One of them is these. Every single airline has a dining program, and every restaurant worth going to is a member of this. Basically, you get 5,000 miles just for signing up. And then for every dollar you spend at any of these restaurants over the whole year, they give you another 5 miles. So it can add up. And so there are things called like Delta Sky Miles Dining and United Dining. They're all, every airline has one.
But when you mentioned that if you have a layover, you can get a lot cheaper fare. I remember trying to book a flight to Venice, and a really cheap fare would have had me go to Moscow. And I thought, you know, I'm not sure that I want to go all the way to Moscow to go to Venice.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this is one of those time for money swaps, really.
And that was before we had all those problems with Vladimir Putin. Seth from Pearl River, hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. So thank you for all the tips. I really appreciate it.
Oh, we have lots more.
Yeah, keep listening. I had a question regarding the brick-and-mortar shopping. And it's something I do fairly often. And, you know, what I'll do is go to what I call sort of seconds shops. So say I'm searching for a pair of boots. Well, I might go to a great sneaker store who also carries little boots. But I often find great sales on the item I'm looking for by going to a shop that doesn't specialize in just the item I'm looking for, because those shops very often have higher prices for those desired goods. Anyway, I wanted to know if that's something that your interviewee had come across and other people use.
David?
It's a fine idea. And actually, I'm a big fan of the identical strategy for online shopping, especially for electronics. If you want to buy an Apple anything or a Dell anything or an HP, get a refurbished one. A refurbished makes you think, oh, there was something wrong with it and it's been repaired. That isn't what they mean. These Apple refurbished laptops were bought and then returned. You know, someone got two of them for Christmas and returned one, things like that. They've been hand inspected, so twice as inspected as a new one, and they come with the identical warranty. The only difference is that they're hundreds of dollars cheaper. So, you know, that $1,300 MacBook Air, right now you get for $999 on the Apple refurbished site. I would never buy a computer not from these refurbished pages. Just Google it.
Sareen from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to make a couple of points. One is that when you're doing online shopping, one site that I particularly refer to is called slickdeals.net. That site has all these deals categorized, reviewed. They actually check the price and see how much lower that price is compared to other retailers. And great reviews by members in that site. The second point is you mentioned about Camel, which is a very good site for analyzing the price trends on Amazon. But another problem, a serious problem that we see with Amazon is that there is a lot of fake reviews that come up to increase the rating. There is a site called fakespot.com where you can just paste the URL to that product, and it uses custom algorithms to kind of like predict and analyze these reviews and tell you how much authenticity you can attach to those reviews. So these two sites just wanted to mention here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Those tips both make me so happy and so sad because I don't have them in the book. I'm looking at slickdeals.net right now. It looks fantastic. And the idea of checking out the reviews is also brilliant.
But he brings up another point, fake reviews. And we've been hearing a lot about fake news and its impact on the current election. This can happen here as well. But are advertisers planting fake news stories?
They do sometimes. Amazon is actually one of the places where it's rarest to see that because Amazon requires that you use your real name, for one. And they also flag your review if you actually bought that thing. So it's very easy to look over the reviews only from people that we know actually paid for it. So fake reviews, when they happen, tend to all occur on the same date. If you see a bunch of September 14th, 2016, and the wording is similar and the spelling is not good, it can kind of give you a hint.
A listener wants to know about the refurbished laptops. A listener named Roya on Twitter wants to know if that applies to cameras as well.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. All those expensive electronics, you should be saving a lot of money on those.
I'm speaking with David Pogue. His latest book is Pogue's Basics, Money, Essential Tips and Shortcuts that No One Bothers to Tell You About Beating the System. It is published by Flatiron Books. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. You mentioned credit cards. Is there an optimal number of credit cards to have? And should Wells Fargo customers have been aware of how many that is?
Wells Fargo customers definitely should have been aware. I wouldn't say there's an optimal number. I mean, the key thing, of course, is don't use it if you can't pay it off at the end of every month. I mean, it seems so obvious, but 40% of us don't live by that.
But you also have to have more than one, it seems, because, for example, if you want to use American Express, many places will tell you can't use American Express. You have to use Visa or MasterCard. Some places won't take other cards. So
yeah. I mean, every place takes Visa and MasterCard. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, one Amex and one
Visa. But Discover sometimes won't be taken. So,
right.
And Amex, I guess, because they charge higher fees.
That's exactly right. The main thing is, like, if your credit card – I know I'm repeating myself, but if your credit card isn't giving you the 2% back, then get that right now.
What should we know about gift cards?
You're punching my raw nerve right here. Gift cards are the biggest economic scam the world has ever seen. I give Leonard a $50 card to Target, and according to Consumer Reports, odds are 25% that you're going to lose it and never use it. Let's say you do use it. You go to Target. You can either not quite spend $50, in which case Target is happy. They get to keep the rest that I paid, or you'll spend more than $50 and Target is equally happy. So here's the deal. There are these really cool exchanges for gift cards that you don't think you're going to use. They give you cash instead of the card. They're called things like cardcash.com and cardpool.com. It's not the full face value because it is, of course, a marketplace, but they'll give you, let's say, 80% of the face value in cash. So that's tip number one. Tip number two is for the rest of the world, we can go there and buy those turned-in cards for a fraction of their price. So get a $100 iTunes gift card for $85.
You suggest a way to pay our taxes with a credit card, but doesn't the IRS bar payments that way?
They do indeed. The IRS does not let you pay for your taxes with a credit card, which is a real shame because that's one of our biggest expenses. We could get so many frequent flyer miles or points or cash back. However, there are these website services like pay1040.com that do accept credit card, and they will pay your taxes for you. I can't really think of any reason for this company to exist other than that. But the way they make money is they take a 1.8% cut of your payment. But if you have a 2% cashback credit card, you're still coming out ahead. So on a typical person's $150,000 income, let's say, the numbers go like this. You'll only save $50 once you've paid their fee, but the fee is tax deductible. So that's another $607 in your pocket by paying your taxes with a credit card.
Barbara from Staten Island, you're on the air.
Well, thank you, Leonard. I'm a first-time caller. I just wanted to mention about something that I discovered inadvertently, negotiating hospital bills. My husband had about 3.5 months' worth of chemotherapy, and all of a sudden we got this bill for the entire amount, which was astronomical. I called the hospital and explained the situation. I said I would like some sort of a monthly payment, and she said, "Oh, of course. And if you'll give me your credit card," she said, "we'll give you a 20% discount."
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. All of these services, your cable company, your internet company, your cell phone company, all of these places are willing to talk to you if you say, "I've been a longtime customer, give me a break."
But don't yell at them.
But don't yell at them.
Well, I was very nice.
Of course you
Thank
were.
You for calling us, Barbara.
That's a
You're
great
welcome.
Tip.
Bye-bye.
Ron from Nutley. By the way, the minute you start screaming, they turn off and you're not going to get anything.
That is absolutely right. You're asking. You're not telling.
Ron from Nutley. Hi.
Yeah, hi. You just mentioned cell phones. I was asked. Wondering if you guys had any insights into cell phone plan shopping. I recently renewed my Verizon contract at Best Buy over here in Jersey, and I think I bought a pig and a poke, actually. Any interesting ideas on that?
Yeah, I did a lot of work on this one. Most of us work on what's called postpaid cell phone plans. That means you pay them after you've already had the month go by. There is an entire world of much less expensive prepaid plans. These are like TracFone and Straight Talk and Boost Mobile, where you buy minutes up front and then you go spend them. And they're minute per minute way less expensive.
But many people are concerned that they're not going to get the kind of coverage they get with the big providers, Verizon, T-Mobile,
not
AT&T.
A worry. No, that's not a worry at all because Verizon, T-Mobile, and AT&T and Sprint offer these on their own networks. They realized that they were losing customers, so now they offer their own programs, but they just don't advertise them. So if you know about these, you can come up with incredible deals. I mean, you can get, if you're willing to make 1,500 calling minutes in a year, you can get $16 a month service from TracFone, for example.
And then when your contract is over, they're offering you a new phone. Is that the best way to get a new phone?
It really depends. Like, there's some people who get the new iPhone every year, no matter what. And for those people, you might want to consider that those rental plans that they have now, where you're paying Apple or the cell phone company a monthly. You're basically leasing it. That can be worthwhile. But otherwise, yeah. I mean, that's the best way to get it.
You wanted to say something else, Ron?
Yeah. The prepaid plans, though, you have to buy the phone separately, and they're expensive, right?
No, not right at all. The phones themselves are really inexpensive. You can get, you know, a nice Android phone for, say, $75. And then if you want a regular phone, like, you know, a Samsung Galaxy or an iPhone, you'll pay what they cost, $600. But there are many other less expensive phones that you can use on these plans.
Let's take another call. Jeff from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on there.
Hey there. Okay, so I've got a system that's actually worked out really well for me for finding good fares on
airfares, which I'm happy to be using today. I'm leaving for Europe this afternoon. So when I went online and tracked it on Priceline and Orbitz, I was getting a flight to Germany to stop in Milan and come back over the course of 6 days of around $1,300. What I did was found flights in and out of Germany on a major carrier, found one for $600. And then what I usually do is go to the cities where I want to go. I go on that city's airline's website to find out which airlines service it, because some of the low-cost carriers are not carried on the major websites like Priceline and Orbitz. So I found out that Ryanair, which is not represented on any of our U.S. sites, services the city I'm going to in Germany and Milan. So I go in and out of Milan on the discount carrier, use the major carrier, and I save myself about $400.
To some degree, what he's doing is something that I just discovered. If you say multiple destinations, you wind up with being offered a package, but it often has some inconveniences. That's the less expensive ones. But if you buy each trip separately, you can save a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what you did there. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Information is money. And he also brings up a good point that a lot of airlines no longer share their data with these web search engines. Southwest isn't on any of them. Delta is pulling out of a lot of them. It's really upsetting.
One more call. Jack, we have very little time, but I think your question is important.
I wanted to lease a car. I went online, and I read what the manufacturer is offering in the way of a lease. I went to the dealership, and I said, "Well, this I want this. What's being offered?" He says, "Well, we don't have that. We know that model, but that's stripped down. We have this with the sunroof and with this car with this extras." He says, "That'll be another $100." I said, "No. I just want what the manufacturer has." He says, "Well, we don't carry that car. That's a stripped down car." So I went to another dealership and I said the same thing to them. I said, "I just want what the manufacturer offers," and I got the price for that price with all the extras they put on it, because they wanted to charge me more at one. The other dealership just made the deal, and that's how I got saved $100 a month.
But I want to ask you a different question here, David. The difference between buying and leasing. Is leasing a better way? Because there are some places that really discourage you from buying a car outright.
Yeah, I mean, it's very complicated. It depends on the car, what the resale value will be. You really have to crunch the math, and there are websites that will help you do that. But I think that was a great way to do it. In the book, I strongly recommend that you play dealers off of each other. Each dealership has an internet manager, and all you do is email 5 or 6 local dealers and say, "What can you do for me on this car model?"
David Pogue, my guest, writes a monthly column for Scientific American. He also hosts PBS Nova shows and appears frequently on CBS Sunday Morning. He's written a number of books. The one we've been discussing, Pogue's Basics, Money, Essential Tips and Shortcuts That No One Bothers to Tell You About Beating the System. It's published by Flatiron Books. There's a lot more in it. We couldn't get to them all, but David, thank you so much for being on our show again.
Thank you so much. I love doing this.